First Lesson by Kylie Lee, read by Twasadark. Fandom Stargate Atlantis. Pairing Shepherd Dex. Rating NC-17. Summary: Ronan's First Lessons. "The address!" Shepard yelled over his shoulder as he reloaded. "For God's sake, Ronan, input the freaking address!" Gunfire sounded closer. The address. The freaking address. He knew it. He knew the address. And his hands touched the DHD. They called it a DHD. A dial home device. Home. Satita. Home. He knew its address, the symbols, 1 through 7. Only Satita was gone. The Wraith had destroyed it. "Ronan!" Tayla screamed, just as McKay said, "Now would be good!" "It's the drug, whatever they gave him," Tayla said. And McKay said, "I liked him better when he was unconscious." And Shepard said, "Dial! Dial now!" Dial. Dial now. Dial the freaking address. Except someone punched him in the shoulder and he fell down. No, he'd been hit. Beams of light shot past, and he thought he could see their trails, tails like falling stars. He didn't feel any pain. He knew the address. It was the first thing he had learned from his father. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. What is wrong with him? Ronan! 7. Home. He couldn't breathe very well. His hand hit the input button as he fell to his knees, and he heard it. The gate moved. "Ion!" his father gasped, and Ronan flexed and hefted. The first lesson had been the address of Satita. The second lesson had been dialing it on the console. This was the third lesson. "Ion! I said Ion! That's the one with the tail thing on the bottom." "I know Ion," Ronan said, following the symbol with his eyes. The gate made a grating sound as it turned. His hands burned as he frantically scrabbled at the dense stone. A fingernail had broken off, and he was bleeding. "It's going to overshoot!" "It's not." It didn't. Ronan made sure it didn't. Ion. And then calf, letters that made a nonsensical word. Maybe the word had meant something to the gate builders. Maybe they could pronounce it, even though there were too few vowels. Ronan couldn't make the word fit his mouth, but he and his father could make the gate turn with the strength of their bodies, the two of them, without a console. And he could make it vomit out power. Being able to do that was its own kind of power. "To the side," his father ordered as the last chevron locked. But Ronan, young as he was, knew enough to avoid the burst of annihilating power. There it was, that moment he loved, the moment where the power exploded, just as Ronan could explode as he jumped high. The power came from the same place, the center, within. And then there was standing water, rippling slightly. On the other side was home. "Let's go home to your mother," his father said, and he extended his hand, dirty, with broken nails. "It takes strength to dial manually. She'll be proud of you." "Home to Satita," Ronan corrected. "Satita," his father agreed, and he took Ronan's hand, and they stepped through. "Does this look familiar to you?" Shepard's voice asked. "It does not," Tayla said. Her voice was precise when she spoke the traitor's language, as she did now. Ronan had heard her voice when she spoke among her family, among the Athosians, in her own language. Then it was not so precise. McKay's voice was next. "It's Satita," he said. "Don't you recognize it?" "No," Shepard said, but his voice was different. "No, I don't. I didn't, but you're right." "Why did he dial Satita?" McKay groused. Ronan said, "Because it's home." "What? Did he say something?" McKay asked. "I thought he said something." Ronan felt his body lift and drag, and he knew Shepard was holding him in his arms. He was in Shepard's lap, and Shepard's arms were around him. Shepard had dragged him through the gate. He remembered that now. "Yeah, he said something, but I don't know what," Shepard said. "Who cares why he dialed it? We got out of the firefight." "Okay. Rodney, kindly dial up Atlantis. I think Ronan here is in pretty bad shape. He got hit in the shoulder. Also, he's heavy. Really, really heavy." "Put him down then," McKay said. "I'd just have to pick him up again in 2 seconds after you dial the gate." "Fine, I'm dialing. See? Dialing." Ronan felt his body tip to the side and his eyes flew open. "I don't feel so good," he said to the ground, which was very close to his face. This was a lie. He felt nothing, but he knew he should feel something, so feeling nothing was bad. He couldn't really feel his body. He felt only pressure against it, but nothing else. "I know, big guy," Shepard said soothingly. "We'll get you home and Dr. Beckett will fix you right up." Home. "Satita?" "Yeah, Ronan, we're on Satita." Ronan closed his eyes again and let his head touch the ground. "One," he said as he heard the gate begin to turn. "Tet. First lesson. Know the address of home." He'd known it would be him. He'd known since the first day he'd begun training. Kel's eyes had followed him after he'd bested three boys in a row in wrestling. Watching. And Ronan had known that he'd been watched. He'd liked it, just like he'd known what Kel wanted, just like he'd known he'd be selected for Kel's regiment when Ronan turned 16. His father had regretted the necessity of Ronan going into the military, because he prized the mind over the body. But Ronan knew where his strengths lay, and it wasn't in the arcane knowledge of his mother. It lay in the body. He would show Kel. Ronan was the best. Fast, strong. He could shoot a bird out of the sky. He understood tactics. He excelled at games of strategy. He could take the training, take the pain, and turn it into power. The same power he'd imagined he'd had inside him when he was a boy. Power like the gate, strong and blue-white, incinerating all in its path. That same power made Kel want him. Ronan knelt and did as Kel wanted, but Ronan wanted it too. He had wanted it for a year and a half, since he'd arrived, the pleasure of approval from a man who was the best of them. And now he knelt, and he felt power, because this man wanted him. Wanted him. And it was easy, ridiculously easy, to drive him to extremity. To make Kel explode in his mouth, a gate locking onto an address, all heat and warmth and explosion and power. What lay beyond? What was beyond the gate? He no longer had his father to guide him, and he was a man now, not a boy, 16 years old at last. He had to find his own way. That way lay with Kel, his new taskmaster. "First lesson," Kel gasped when it was over, putting his hand on Ronan's head like a benediction. "Well done." "Very big guy," McKay huffed. Ronan tried to open his eyes and managed to take in the floor, but he recognized that floor. Atlantis. "Yeah, thanks for your help, Dr. McKay," Shepard said into Ronan's ear, just as the gate switched off, an abrupt cessation of power. "Hey, Elizabeth, we got Ronan back, but he's been drugged, and he got shot." "Dr. Beckett to the gate room," Weir said, as Shepard and McKay, holding Ronan between them, lowered him to the ground. "Medical emergency." The tone of her voice changed. "Who took him?" "Well, it looks like the Satitas took him," Shepard said. "No," Ronan said, "because his own people would never betray him." "I think they questioned him and let him go," Shepard continued, "but there was a firefight when we tried to get out. I have no idea what's going on." "Ronan?" Weir asked, and Ronan took in her obviously concerned face as she knelt over him. "Kel," Ronan said. "Payback. His regiment." He'd shot Kel, killed him where he stood. Kel a coward and a traitor, the man who let others die so he could live after he'd sworn to protect them, to lead them. Taylor knew. She'd been there. Satidans hadn't held him, questioned him. Satida didn't exist anymore. It had been Kel and the remnants of his followers. Payback. "Dr. Beckett?" Taylor called, and Ronan knew she was covering for him, even as Weir frowned. "Please. Please." "First lesson," Shepard said, his tone ironic. "What do you want to do for your first lesson?" Ronan shrugged. "Whatever," he said. Shepard wasn't in charge. It had taken him a while to get his head around that. Elizabeth Weir was in charge. Despite this, she did not lead the team that went off-world. She wouldn't tell Ronan what to do. And Ronan wasn't a part of their military. Shepard said, "Because something tells me you've got it down, all the everyday stuff, like the shooting." Ronan cocked an eyebrow. "So, no lesson?" Shepard crossed his arms. "What do you need?" Ronan considered. Satida was gone. He knew it intellectually, but he didn't feel it in his heart. He'd run for years, and now he was free again. He could feel the address under his hands, the first thing he'd learned as a child. 7 symbols to bring him home. Now those 7 symbols led to nowhere. "Your rules," he said at last. "Rules?" Shepard had changeable eyes. Ronan didn't know what color to call them. He didn't know how to categorize Shepard at all. Eye color, role, whatever. "Rules." Ronan ticked the rules off on his fingers as he listed them. "Eat with utensils. Don't scare the women. Don't fuck anybody. Don't make eye contact." "Don't fuck anybody?" Shepard interrupted. "What?" Ronan stared him down. He couldn't read Shepard, tell if he was making fun of Ronan. "Don't fuck anybody," Ronan repeated. "You tried to fuck somebody, Taylor?" "Nobody fucks each other," Ronan said, because it was true. Shepard held up his hands. "Okay, what?" "You and Elizabeth Weir." Before he even finished the sentence, Shepard interrupted with, "Oh, God, no, no, no. What makes you..." And Ronan said, "You and Taylor. You and McKay. Stop." Ronan stopped, and he and Shepard eyed each other. "I'm not, fucking anybody," Shepard said. "That's my point," Ronan said. "Why not?" Shepard cleared his throat. "Because we have rules," he said at last. "Because you can't have, relationship with someone in your chain of command." Ronan considered. It seemed stupid to him. Sex cemented loyalties. He still remembered his first private lesson with Kel, what he'd learned. "Okay," he said, that useful word that everybody from Shepard's planet used. It didn't quite mean yes. In this context, it meant, "I understand, but I think it's stupid." "Good," Shepard said, as if they understood each other. He indicated the room with its padded floor with his head. "So, sparring?" Ronan considered. "No," he said. "Fucking." "I told you," Shepard said, but Ronan knew he had him, knew that he could teach Shepard something, because Shepard shut up when Ronan kissed him, hard and deep, and he said "Ronan" as they fell to the floor, and later, Shepard said "please" right before he came in Ronan's mouth. When he opened his eyes, the light blinded him, light as bright as the punching of power that came through the gate, streaking through the dark, leaving a smear behind. He could shut his eyes and see the light imprinted there. "Hey." "Bright light," Ronan told Shepard, and a moment later, as Shepard dimmed the lights, he could open his eyes. "Thanks." "You okay?" Shepard looked concerned. You have an IV in your arm to rehydrate you, so don't move around too much. Ronan looked down at himself, body covered with a smooth, white sheet. He felt as though he'd been beaten. A tube, an IV, ran into his arm. "I'll get Dr. Beckett," Shepard said, turning. "No," Ronan said immediately. Irrationally, he didn't want a doctor right now. He wanted... what did he want? "No, don't do that." "Why not?" Shepard asked after a second. "It's my fault," Ronan said, because it was. If he hadn't killed Kel, this would never have happened. Kel's family, the remnants of the regiment loyal to him, his new allies, they had captured him, drugged him, questioned him. Shepard said, "It's your fault, so no doctor for you? You've been bad? Is that it?" "Your rules don't make any sense," Ronan said. "You and me." Shepard looked up and around sharply, and Ronan sighed. "We're alone," he said. He'd taught the first lesson to Shepard, that colleagues in arms could be lovers. Shepard had taught him the next lesson, that Earth rules meant that men couldn't be together that way. They both taught each other the same lessons over and over again, private and public, intimacy and coldness, day after day. I gave them the address. I think I gave them the address. "Who's them?" Shepard asked. Ronan was too tired to explain. "Bad guys," he said. He didn't want to close his eyes, although they were heavy. He wanted to look at Shepard, his changeable eyes, his hair. Being with Shepard wasn't like being with Kel. It wasn't the same at all. "I'm sorry," he said. "I'm pretty sure it was the drugs." "Yeah," Shepard said. "Well, the iris. We got an iris over the gate. No signal. The iris doesn't open. And splat." He clapped his hands together to illustrate. "I forgot about that," Ronan said, finding himself cheered. "Good. That's good." "You dialed Satita," Shepard said. He hadn't touched Ronan. A nurse or a doctor could come in at any time. Ronan knew. He understood. "Force of habit," Ronan said. "It's still home, you know." "Yeah," Shepard said. "I feel the same way about Earth. Everything's there." Ronan held out his hand, the right one, the one that didn't have a plastic line in it. "Not everything," he said. And Shepard took his hand and clasped it hard. "No," Shepard said, his mouth quirking into a smile. "Not everything." End. If you enjoyed this story, please leave the author feedback. You can contact the author through this story's posting at amplificathon.livejournal.com.